Out of the 13th chapter, I will read verses 21 through 27. The Bible reads, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Supporting scripture this morning coming from the 41st Psalms, verse 9. The Bible reads, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trust, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heels against me. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trust, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. In other words, he has gone against me. But Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. The base of those verses, we'd like to use a thought or subject this morning. Be careful who you sop bread with. Be careful who you sop bread with. We thank God this morning for his grace and his mercy. And we thank God for being the one that has blessed and has brought us through. We are thankful to our Lord, our God, for all of those that have sacrificed their blood and their lives, and those that have struggled even before the struggle. The strong faith and determination that someday we should overcome. There were many that, as they said, they were so determined and they had a faith in God that that someday would be that day, but they had to wait until God brought about some changes. We are blessed to come together this morning and praise and worship in this beautiful sanctuary, one that is filled with the power of God's Spirit and for 80 years plus have declared Jesus to be Lord of Lords as we celebrate the month of Black History. Let us remember the teachings of one of the greatest theologians that I've ever lived, and that would be my pastor and mentor, the Reverend Dr. F.D. Betts, who labored in this vineyard for over 40 years. And not only is our pastor, but he was a community activist with pull and power in the right places, even in a time such as that, that ministered to all mankind, regardless of their race. Dr. Betts was a great man. And we cannot go into Black History Month without observing or recognizing or at least calling his name and remembering who he was and the labor that he did here in this household of faith. There are many that are part of us now that know nothing about Dr. Betts, but those of us that are left, it is our responsibility, it is our duty to make sure that they know that we had a spiritual leader that was full of fire, full of power, and one that loved the people of God. And I believe if he were able to look and witness and see what's going on in here today, to see that the good news is still being spread in this house, to see that we are still about our Father's business. And his teachings was that if we are to do anything, charity starts at home. He taught us that. He taught us that. That out of all the goings that we may have gone to many places ministering, but he always reminded us that the most important thing is to do what you need to do at home. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have been under such a great man of God that have taught me so many things and have paved the way that we would be into this place and doing the things that God would have us to do. And I'm just so thankful that God is still God all by himself. So as we pay tribute and give honor this month, let us remember all of those that have made the contributions to make life a better place for all of us. To those that have gone on, as well as those that are still amongst the living, especially all of those that are serving and fighting for our rights right now. So many times we forget about those that are struggling. We forget about those that are going through because we are so concerned about me, myself, and I. But you got to understand that wherever you are now, somebody paved the way for you to get there. Wherever you are, all the accomplishments that you have, all the many things that you may say that I have or I have done, it's because somebody walked before you and it wasn't easy to walk. Somebody walked before you and sacrificed their very life and gave of themselves so that we would have some rights in this life. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God put something down on the inside of all black people that we ought to have a determination that we're going to hold on and we're going to hold out no matter what comes our way. When you begin to think about we are celebrating what the accomplishments, what many have made, we got to understand that we too got to make some contributions to history. And in order for us to do that, we must be about our Father's business. In order for us to do that, we must be, as the Sunday school lesson taught you this morning, not to be just hearers of the word, but you got to become doers of the word. You got to stand up and let your voice be heard. You got to know that it's your responsibility to come out of the house when it's voting day and to do those things that need to be done. If you're going to always sit back and say, they say, and they kept me from this and they kept me from that, it's nobody's fault but your own. And we especially want to say, especially to our young people this morning, that we got to understand that we are living in a different time now. And in the time in which we are living now, as you've heard this morning, education is very important. So you got to understand that you got to take advantage of every opportunity, every door that is open, every program that is out there. There are many things out there to where you might feel like my parents are poor and I don't have this or I don't have that. But there are some programs in place that if you want to be somebody, then you got to find out that information and you got to know that you can't be stuck right here in Lexington. You can get out of Lexington, come back to Lexington and give back to this community because of the blessing that God has bestowed upon you. Brother Curley stood right there and said it take a village to raise a child. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that I came up when I was in the village. And in the village, everybody told you when to sit down. Everybody told you when to shut your mouth. Everybody would put you in check and let you know that you nothing but a child, you better sit down somewhere. In the village, people care about one another. Not no big eyes and little eyes. Everybody is somebody. If we're going to declare that everybody is somebody, then we got to stop looking down on folk. We got to start realizing that it's not about you anyway. Sometimes we think that it's all about us. But you got to know that there's some folk that had some hard times and some hard struggles to get us where we are right now. And then we ought to be able to think about, when you think about how far we came, but how long it took us to get here. We are serving a God that created mankind over thousands of years ago. And here we are as a people that actually can't even say that we've had justice served to us even today. Because even though things are a whole lot better, there's still a lot of injustice in the world. Even though a lot of doors have been opened up, there's still going to be some stumbling blocks in your way. Even though there may be many positive figures, we even have a black president, but that does not change when you go in there for that interview. If your face is black, then they're going to look at you in a different way. They don't care who the president is. Only thing they know is here's a black man or black woman that want a job that if I have my way, I'm going to give it to somebody else. But how many of you know that you got to stand the test of time? You got to keep on knocking on doors. You got to keep on submitting resumes. You got to keep on saying, I'm not going to take no for an answer. Yeah. We're tired of the statistics that says that all of our black folk are locked up. There are a lot of them locked up. There's a lot of us free. Don't determine your mindset on somebody else's life. In fact, we found through the word of God that sometimes when other folk go through their trials and tribulations, when we sit back and look, we ought to learn something and use their experience for an example that I ought not do that, because if I do that, I might get into this. So a lot of times you got to be mindful. God has brought about some changes. But we got to understand that when we talk about history, history is something that has already happened. But at the same token, you got to know that you are a product. You are a person that have been blessed by the best. Now, I don't believe that there's anybody in here that was created other than from the dust of the ground. If you are breathing, if you are living, it's because Jesus Christ, the Lord that we serve, he is the one that gave us life. And after giving us life, we ought to be thankful for the life that he has given us. We got to understand that as we go through life, it's time for us to stop passing the buck. It's time for us to stop using other folk as our excuse as to why we are not prospering. We got to understand that if we want to go to higher heights, we got to start climbing on our own. You got to know that it doesn't matter how much you pray for one another until an individual decides that I'm going to do what I got to do for myself. Your praying is not necessarily in vain, but your prayer is not going to make it happen until they get ready. When they get ready to get up off the stool and do nothing, when they get ready to say that here I am, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. So be glad this morning. Be proud. You remember back when we had what we call black pride? When we had black pride, we stood together, unified, and knowing that your battle is my battle. But now we've separated ourselves. We've come to a place where we've come so lax in the spirit of God to where we allow the world to dictate to us how we need to behave ourselves. Now I'm going to move on to the text, but I got to say this about when we're talking about black history. And I love to watch all the old movies. And when I watch the old movies, I see black men walking with hats on and with nice overcoats on and with nice suits on, looking like somebody with integrity, with somebody that got their mind on the right thing, somebody that realized that my appearance means a whole lot as to say as to who I am and what I'm all about. And our young folk have got it twisted, thinking that you got to make your statement by the way that you look. You can twist your hair, color your hair any way you want to color it, but it's going to hinder you from some of the jobs that you can have. We have folk all over the world talking about it. The boys ought to pull their pants up. You can't get no job. You can't even bend down and pick up nothing off the floor if your pants hanging half down your behind. You are hindering yourself from progress. All of you that have listened to all of the announcements about the oncoming events, I heard on the radio that there's going to be a comedy show coming. But you know what sticks with me from that commercial? It says that the comedian says that the world has changed to a place where the church is come as you are, but the club is dressed to impress. There's something wrong with that picture. Why do you want to come in God's house with some blue jeans on and an old sweatshirt and go to the club with your very best on, looking like you come out of GQ or somewhere, and all you're doing is headed for destruction? It's Black History Month. It's time for you to stop being fooled by the enemy. Spending God's money to get that outfit to go out in. I'm going to leave that alone. But I'm sure you got my drift this morning. All I want to do is just plant a seed to let you think about it for a while. Walking around looking like anybody, then expect a blessing from God. There's something wrong with the world today. Nothing wrong with God's trees. Nothing wrong with God's flowers. Nothing wrong with the land that we walk on. Something is wrong with us. We done got twisted. Let me refocus. One thing about pastoring is that time takes care of itself. You don't even realize. The time moves so fast that a whole month is already gone. We were just singing Joy to the World. A whole month has already gone. So those of you that, if you did make a resolution, how close are you in doing what you said that you were going to do? Time is running out. A whole month has already passed. But being in ministry, when the different holidays and different things come up, it's my responsibility, and I could or could not, but I was taught by one of the Betts. Thank you, God, Dr. Betts. And so that's why when there are particular things going on, I have to address those issues so that you know that I'm studying to show myself approved as well as knowing what's going on in the land. So now that we got our little spiel on Black history, we're going to get some more of that all month long. But now let us focus on my assignment this morning. My assignment this morning is to talk to you about breaking bread. We are here this morning on our communion Sunday to break bread together. We are here because the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's Hill. As believers, we know that the bread is symbolic to his body that was beaten and abused, and the drink is the cup of his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. The Bible declared that he is the bread of life. Out of all and all the things that we do, we come together to eat at the table. But let us be mindful that we still need to be careful who we sop bread with. I'm an old school, and I remember the way that we used to enjoy eating. We were taught table manners and such, but at home, we would just eat. There was something about sopping bread in gravy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I ain't in no hurry. I don't care who win the game. So you got to go by. I'll see you next week. It's been cold, but it's warm in here. You got your assignment and I got mine. But now, when I think about the way that we used to eat, you can take a piece of bread and sop it in some gravy, and you can make a clean plate. Anybody in here ever made a clean plate? You tell the truth, it's a happy plate. Plate happy when nothing left on. Take some bread and just put it in some bean juice. It don't necessarily have to be gravy. It can be bean juice. Yeah. Stewed beef juice. Yeah. Then there's some of us, you know, we done got a little fancy now. We got this olive oil and all these spices, and we'll dip our bread in that. Yeah. I remember when I thought that the only way that you were supposed to eat greens, well, to take some cornbread and pinch a little bit of the green with the cornbread and just eat it with your hand. You didn't ever use the fork. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? And something about that cornbread with that green juice in it just tasted so good going in your mouth. You remember when we used to eat pig feet the right way? We didn't have a knife. We didn't have a fork. We picked it up with our fingers until we get the sticky fingers. Anybody ever had the sticky fingers?
You eat just enough of it till your fingers get sticky enough to know whether, oh yeah, them feet pigs, they were good. See, we done forgot where we come from, but I see some of us remember that we weren't too proud to put our hand on the plate and to just eat it like it ought to be eaten. That there's something wrong when you try to eat chicken with a fork. Now, granted, I've learned how to do that. But I'd much rather just pick that chicken up and just slap it in my mouth. Anybody in here know how to really take one of those pieces of a wing and just put it in your mouth and just pull it out? Ain't nothing left but the bone. Now, that's real eating right there. Nobody got time to be cute leaving all the meat on the bone, making the dog happy. You better get happy before the dog get happy. We got some folk that plate watch and they'll look at your plate and say, man, you wasting that chicken. It doesn't matter what kind of function we're having. We love to eat. Whether it's with family, friends. Then how many of you know sometimes you can invite your friends and they bring their friends, somebody you don't even know much about. So because you are nice, because you are kind, you allow everybody to eat, but I come to serve your morning this morning. Be careful who you sup bread with. Somebody sitting at your table eating your food might very well be against you. Now, David said, blessed is he that will consider the poor. If you consider the poor, the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Because, say, some folk don't care nothing about you. There's some folk that might smile in your face, eat your food, and will still stab you in your back. There's some folk that will borrow your last dime and go and give it to somebody else and talk trash about you in the midst of it all. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die? When is his name going to perish? If he come to see me, he speaketh vanity, his heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. And that hate me whisper together against me. So David is at a very low place in his life. David sees that there are people that are against him. There are folk that you may walk with that will take your very business and spread it out in the street. And the reason they spread it is to try to cause you some kind of harm. So the Bible said that they devise my hurt. An evil disease said they cleave it fast unto him. And now that he lied, he shall rise up no more. But now look at this verse. It says, yea, mine own familiar friend, the one in whom I trust, the one that I told all of my business to, he ate bread with me, but then he lifted up his heel against me. In other words, my friend that sat down and ate at my table turned his back on me and went against my very being. Anybody know anybody like that? That'll sit down with you and eat all of your food up and act like everything is all right until they get their fill, and then they go on their merry way. Sometimes they eat your food and talk trash about it. But we got to understand that when you get at a low place in life, you got to do just like David did. You got to start talking to the Lord. David started praying to God for healing, and he wanted to be to a place where I can even be able to deal with my close friend that has turned his or her back on me. But now, let us walk through our text this morning. The The Bible says, as Richard read in the 18th verse, almost parallel to what David said. It says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. Now, Minister Johnson made it very plain that these words in red is Jesus speaking. So the Lord is sitting there with the disciples. And if you would just back up to verse 10, it says, Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And ye are clean, but not all. So in other words, I got many people around me. And you would think because they are my disciples that they're all clean, but all of them are not clean. Now, if you know these things, happy you will be. But I tell you before it come that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So now Jesus began to share with them that I know that I'm getting ready to leave you. But before I leave you, I got to share this information. One of you are going to betray me. For the Bible said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. The Bible says that the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. So in other words, they were looking and they were wondering and they were thinking. I know it's not me. I know it's not me. Because you know when you're guilty. So now, if you are sitting there and you are not guilty, even though you are not guilty, just the mere fact that the Messiah has said, somebody in this room, somebody around my table is going to betray me. Right. Then because I love my master, I want to know which one of you jokers it is. When we sit down and break bread together. And now I know in my spirit, because my spirit done got trouble. There's something going on in here. You know how sometimes you don't say nothing, but you got your mind working? Then God knows what's going on in your mind. So what did the Bible say? The Bible said the disciples looked at one another and they were doubting. But now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That was John. Simon Peter. Now y'all already got somebody that's going to urge you on. Simon Peter wanted to know, but the Bible says he beckoned to him. In other words, now I'm here close to Jesus myself, but I know Jesus loves you more than he loved me. So I'm going to go through you to get my answer. Those of you that deal with children, you know how sometimes there's one child that's sort of closer to your heart. So now, don't think that the other children are dumb. They know who is close to your heart. So what that child does is that I know what I want, but if I ask you, you're going to say no. But if I tell my brother to ask you, very well, you might say yes. So Simon Peter said, John, just ask him, who is he? Got the picture? Okay. So now, the Bible says, after he beckoned him, he then lined at Jesus' breast. And he asked, who was it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give suck. When I have dipped it, and when he dipped it, you see, didn't bring no gravy, but got me some bread. And so, Jesus So now, John, I'm going to tell you, but everybody can't hear this. Now, the one that I sought this bread with, the one I give it to, that's the one. Can you see Jesus sitting there at the table? Oh, God. You better get a spiritual mind on now. Forget about Cain. Forget about the illustration. But think about Jesus. Jesus took the bread. And when he stopped it. Now, Jesus says, when I dip the cup, the one that I give it to, he is the one. He was talking about Judas. So now, after he had dipped the bread, I love you, but you're going to be Judas today. Judas, have a bite to eat. Bible says, see, I picked the wrong Judas. He's just laughing. He's just happy. The Bible said that Satan got in the Judas. In other words, when you get called out, that other part of you come out. And I want to let you know this morning that you better be careful who you sop bread with. Because everybody that sit at your table don't have your best interest at heart. You better know that there's somebody that is going to sit around in you. There's somebody that's going to be right there at the welcome table. And there's somebody that's going to say, I'll do this and I'll do that. But I want to let you know that everybody that say that they love you, they don't have your best interest at heart. I thank God for Jesus. Jesus know everything there is to know about us this morning. And if there's anybody in the house this morning, if you love to eat a little bit of bread, if you want to eat a little bit of meat, I want to let you know that there's something about sitting at the welcome table where they say there'll be bread, milk, and honey. But I want to let you know that if you're going to dip your bread in the honey, you better know who you're dipping with. Because everybody sit down around the table. Somebody don't have the love of God. Somebody don't have faith in the power of God. Somebody don't know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. But I want to let you know that you can't fool the Lord in no time. The Lord knew exactly who it was that was going to betray him. There might be somebody in the house this morning that got their mind made up that I want to serve the Lord. But you got those things in your mind that everybody's going against me. Everybody's talking about me. But don't worry about what they say. You better know that the Lord said that I am the bread of life. I'll feed you when you get hungry. I'll be there when everybody else leaves. I want to let you know that when we sit down and break bread together, I thank God for being the bread of life. For it is the body that is broken for us. When I eat up that bread and drink up the cup, I'm saying, Lord, I remember that everything is going to be all right. I say, Lord, I remember that you died for me. You paved the way for me. You made a way out of no way. And I'm glad this morning that I got joy down in my heart. I'm glad this morning that I got an appetite, that I can eat bread. I can dip my bread. I can sop my bread. I can choose who I sop with. But you better be careful who you sop bread with. Because there's somebody eating at your table. They're going to go against you one day. But if you trust the power of God, you know everything going to be all right. Anybody love the Lord this morning? Say yeah. Anybody got God on their side? Say yeah. Anybody know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I stand for what's right, if I run for the Lord my God, that I might not be where I want to be. But I thank God I'm not where I used to be. There was a time that I didn't have a mind to lift up the name of Jesus. But I thank God this morning that the Lord has done some great things. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul, my soul, my soul, cried out hallelujah. I thank you, God. for saving me. I thank you, God, for being that bridge over my troubled waters. I thank you, God, for being my doctor that'll heal my body in my sick room. I thank you, God, for being the mediator that when I can't say the right thing, I can just talk to the Spirit, and the Lord God knows everything that you need to say. I just come to offer you a warning this morning that as we sit and as we share the bread and the blood of Christ, let us be mindful that it's just not a form or a fashion, but we are following the command of Jesus himself. For even in sharing with John, the disciples, they didn't realize when he gave it to Judas that Judas was the betrayer. Judas' own conscience convicted him. That's why the devil got in him. It's because he knew he was wrong. And the Bible declares, if you read a couple of more verses, that Judas left in the dark like a thief in the night. Judas left, walked away from the Lord and his disciples because he was downhearted for the sin that had seeped into his life. But now, look at this thing. Judas never let on that I'm the betrayer. He never acted any different. So when you are being mindful and being careful, careful means being cautious. Be cautious of those that sit around your table. That's your bread. Give it to whomsoever you will. But whoever you give it to, they ought to be thankful. But Jesus used that illustration to release and to vent. Because did not the word say his spirit had become troubled? I'm troubled because one that I think and know should love me is getting ready to turn me in. Do you have a friend like that? One that has sat with you, walked with you, hung with you. But when you need them the most, they step back out your life, they turn around, and you never see them again. But that's one thing that you don't have to worry about when it comes to Jesus. But he's always there with his arms wide open. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So as we partake of God's holy communion today, let us take it in the spirit of holiness, a spirit of gratefulness, a spirit of thanksgiving for the blood that was shed on Calvary's Hill.